Chair Food with Jules Serkin. Eating and drinking our way around the food business.
Hello and a warm welcome to the Share Food Show with me, Jules Serkin. As you know, listener, this is the show where we celebrate food and drink that we all love. I'm sounding slightly breathless because, of course, in the green room, we've been tucking in pre-show, which is always my downfall. Today, we're talking about Christmas prep. It comes every year. We all know it comes every year. And I do try and be organised and think in November I should start making a list. And then somehow, I don't know about you, I end up in a little last minute frenzy, which I think I quite enjoy. So how is it for you? Do you end up scrabbling about the last minute? Or are you one of those organised people that buys everything in October and has it all wrapped up? And then you nip round visiting family and friends and going to parties? Or do you end up in the kitchen with a red face, a bit like me, steamed up windows, or maybe slumped up under the Christmas tree, weeping with an eggnog, which I have been known to do on occasion. So do tweet us in and tell us. We'd love to hear your... I'm quite interested in the chaotic stories of Christmas, perhaps, where you may have forgotten to turn the oven on. I know for me that getting the turkey in is just, you know, a huge turkey. You can't fit it in the oven, listener. And then there's no room for anything else. It's all a bit of a frenzy, just for one day. Joining me in the studio, we've got our experts to talk about Christmas prep, much better than my efforts. So we have a real live farmer, the fabulous Charles Tassel. And good morning, Charles. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jules.
I still say morning. I'm so used to doing an 11 a.m. show. It's terrible. But I know you understand.
I do indeed.
So you've come in this morning bringing gifts. Tell the listener what you're bringing in.
I brought some lovely red apple juice. Red Love, it's called.
Can you see, listener? It's fantastic. Very Kentish apples.
Kentish apples.
So what apple would they use to get that red colour?
It's a new variety called Red Love.
Love it.
Specially bred to be bright red.
Now, Charles Tassel is not only a farmer, he's also the director of the Kent Show, which is a huge show, and it's grown and grown and grown. When was it established?
Been going about 80 years. I think we had our 80th anniversary recently, so it's about 1920s and something, and then Obviously missed a few years in the war years.
And it's really, really grown, as Charles will be telling you later on. He's also the founder of AgriChat, and you can find that on Twitter with a hashtag AgriChatUK. And it's the home for UK farming discussion on Twitter. And what is it, a Wednesday night?
Thursday evening. 8 o'clock.
I've obviously researched
you
it.
You have.
But I know I've popped into AgriChat many a time when I'm slumped, usually having some sort of noggin later on in the evening. So Charles is going to be telling us about Kent produce, what's going on in Kent, and also Christmas prep. So he's going to be telling us all about turkeys, how to choose a turkey, where to get a turkey. And, of course, we'll have to mention Brussels sprouts, because mine have been simmering for at least a week. Next to Charles, we have Kate Brazier. Now, she is a global phenomenon. Her blog has attracted almost 142,000 hits from over 122 countries. The cookbook is called Kate's Puds or Kate's Puddings. And she has just released her second book, which is called Second Helping. So welcome, Kate. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Jules.
And the reason we're all feeling slightly stuffed is because, of course, when poor Matt, the producer, who we'll be talking to in a minute, he's going to tell us about events and Twitter, we'll be talking about what we've been eating and preparing ahead. So chocolate sauces, lemon sauces we've had. And what was the other? Toffee. I mean, Charles and I had all of them, hadn't we, Charles? And then Kate was pressing us to try the toffee one. Also, we're going to be speaking to Sally Laker, who is the queen of cakes. She actually made my wedding cakes and my new husband's birthday cake, which was in the shape, an exact replica of a banjo. We'll be talking to Sally. She is too busy. She's snowed under flour. So she's got flour up to her elbows and she's stirring and mixing. And I know from when I've talked to her before, of course, this is a busy time of year, but she's always busy because her cakes are in huge demand. So we're going to be asking you, listeners, to tweet in all your chaos and your Christmas tales. And also, if you've got any questions to ask the experts, you know, Charles Tassel, Kate Brazier and Sally for Cakes, and we will try and answer them as best we can. Of course, Matt, the producer, probably knows a thing or two about it. But you can tweet us on at Share Radio UK. You can use the hashtag Share Food, or you can tweet me directly. I'm Jules Serkin, so J-U-L-E-S, S for sugar, E-R-K-I-N. You can also text, so 66777, and start your text with the word share. And there are T's and C's, apparently. I have no idea what they will be, but Matt will tell you because he's very efficient.
Well, we've got some fantastic tweets. And also, I'd just like to say quickly, Merry Prep Christmas to everybody out there.
Ho, ho, ho.
Because they're all running around, trying to get the best deals, trying to get the food together and plan the heady Christmas that's going to come for us.
Black Friday, wasn't it, Matt?
Exactly. That's one of the best parts of Prep Christmas in some minds. And to some people, some of the worst parts of Prep Christmas.
Hey, so. I'm liking your jazzy Christmas music.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You know, just got to try and get in the mood before you stop getting in the mood when you hear Christmas songs. Mm. But so now we've had some fantastic responses from people tweeting in their tips for Christmas prep. We're going to just take a quick look at them for now. Caroline and Liz, who are from at @Riverford_Kent, have sent in a fab tip, which I have to confess I'm terrible at. It's to order early for pre-Christmas deliveries, so you must make a list. Do you make a list?
Yes, I do, on a tap, a little stone and with a chisel.
Well, let's
in my cave.
Well, it sounds like a long process, but you know, as long as it's, you know, put in stone, literally. So lists do sound like a great idea. And speaking of lists, Harry Covert, who I believe is a friend of yours, Jules, has sent us a Christmas countdown list of his top 10 tips to get prepared. I personally like number 3, which is make sure you have a plan for the big meal. Keep the meal simple and manageable. Complex is hard work. No one likes hard work around Christmas.
No, we don't. Actually, you're right, Matt. He is a friend. Thank you for that. He is a lovely friend. It's Mr. Harry Cover, if you're following him on the Twitter. And Harry is H-A-R-I. He does secret dining. So I've actually partaken of quite a few of his dinners. I'm wearing them today. But so keep your tweets and texts and little tips coming through to us. We are interested, and I'm sure our guests here will answer them better than Matt, who I'm sure has never cooked a Christmas dinner in his life, Matt.
No, it's because my mum's so good at cooking Christmas meals that how could I step on that? I'm not going to try and take away her glory.
Now, you know. Do you partake in anything, Matt?
I peel the sprouts. I think I've got 3 older brothers and we all sit around peeling the sprouts, you know, and I think that's a very important part of the process.
Do you put a little cross in them?
Yes, I'm very good at it. I've been doing it for the past 32 years, so, you know, I'm an expert sprout peeler.
Well, well done, Matt's Mrs. Mum.
Mary Cook.
Yes, well done to her. So I don't think it's too early to play a lovely number. I've got a little Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters with the Hawaiian Christmas song, and it's going to get us all in the festive mood.
So why did you choose this? Why did you choose this song?
I love this song. I love it because it's not too Christmassy tinkly. And it sort of takes me back, Matt, to, before you were born, and when my mum used to sort of dance around the kitchen prepping. So, yeah, I love this song. What do you think of it?
I think it's a lovely song, and anything that makes me think about my mum dancing around and having fun is always, it's always a good moment.
But how can she when she's cooking for you lot? She's in a frenzy in the kitchen.
Yeah, when I say dance, I mean a frenzy dancing around trying to get everything finished.
Do you pour a little sherry while she's cooking?
Yeah, that is a must. That is the Christmas tradition, I think.
Do you make them larger and larger?
As the Christmas period goes on, I think it does.
So here we are with the Andrews Sisters and Bing Crosby, not as my lovely researcher called him, Bill Crosby, which I thought was rather sweet.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where
sunshine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, a little bit of Bing there. I don't know about you, listener, but I feel like wearing one of those really idiotic reindeer jumpers now after listening to that. It sort of conjures up with Bing Crosby, old Christmases when you were a kid. Kate's doing a lovely reindeer impression here, Kate Brazier. When you were a kid and you had no cares and you just used to do snowballs and your mum, you'd go home and you'd be soaking wet from the snow and snow in your boots and... Charles, what's your earliest memory of a Christmas?
Oh, it's got to be, like you said, Dickens. Snow and Brussels sprouts. I do love Brussels sprouts, so I think it must be those.
Now, I was reading about, let's just introduce you properly again. So it's Charles Tassell. He is a real farmer listener, and he is going to tell us all about what's going on for Christmas, a few Christmas tips, insider tips about turkeys and sprouts. But not just that, of course, he's an arable farmer. So he's dealing and growing apples, strawberries, raspberries. He's also the director of the Kent Show and the founder of AgriChat UK. You can find that with a hashtag at the beginning, so AgriChat UK on the Twitter. And that is the home for UK farming discussions on Twitter. And you can also, I believe, find jobs and that are in farming. But so back to you, Charles, after your fanfare introduction. Tell us about... tell us about the Kent Show, first of all.
Kent Show is held every July. It's Friday, Saturday and Sunday in July. It's usually the second week. We've moved it back a week. So next year it's the 8th, 9th and 10th. We have about 500 animals there. Dairy cows, beef cows, sheep, chickens, fur, wool, you name it.
We have fur?
Fur, yeah. So we have some ferrets there.
All right.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And of course, equines, show jumping, steam engines, traction engines, tractors. Titan the robot, he's a big hit. He walks around and plays music at people and squirts them with water. So that's
nice.
That's good fun.
So you've got a lot of schools visiting.
Yeah.
Adults?
Lots of schools. It's very much a family show. Lots to see big agriculture machinery, but also hot tubs. You've got lots of hot tubs and cars and you name it.
Relevance with a hot tub and a farmer.
Yes, corporate entertainment and all
and
that.
You were doing the parking this year, I believe.
I'm in charge of the traffic, which in the past has been a bit tricky, especially in the wet year, but last 3 years we've gone really well and it's in and out with no problem at all. So we're really proud of that but we keep working on it, but it's gone well. Yeah, we've got a system now that works.
And you're three generations of family farmers, so you took over from your dad, but you would have watched your grandparents.
That's right, yes. Yeah, and then there's my brother, myself. So we farm arable, which is things like wheat, beans, peas, and then fruits. We've got apples, strawberries in polytunnels and raspberries in polytunnels. So a good mixture.
So how have the polytunnels worked for you this year? Are you finding that's working better? Because I know farmer Guy Watson from Riverford, he struggled against having the polytunnels for a long, long time, saying it would affect possibly flavour, if I'm right. But how have you found it?
They're very good. Yeah, they keep the rain out. You might think, well, why would you want to keep the rain out? But it actually means you can have a consistent crop. So in the old days when we grew in the ground naked, as you might say.
You were naked?
Where we grew them naked.
Okay.
Yes. If it rains, you then ring up the supermarket and say, sorry, no strawberries tomorrow because they're going a bit rotten. Leave it a couple of days and we'll be back in business. And they'd say, well, tell you what we're getting from Spain.
Yeah.
Whereas you grow them under polytunnels and you irrigate them. But the trick is not to over-irrigate them. If you ever have strawberries which are really watery, it means they've been over-irrigated.
With no flavour.
No flavour. It's because they had too much water.
Because a Moroccan or a Spanish strawberry is just not the same flavour, is it?
No, we've got the climate. We have got the climate up here. So they work really well. And of course, they're lovely to pick because they're on what we call tabletops. So they're about sort of chest height. So, and all the strawberries are hanging down, so there's no leaves. The ironic thing is years ago, it was a back-breaking job, bending over on the ground in the straw. trying to find a strawberry. Whereas now it's a lovely job to do, but of course not many English people do it, which is the ironic thing.
So you're bringing in, as a business, you're bringing in Polish or what other workers?
Bulgarian, lots of East Europeans.
Yeah. Who work hard and for less?
Not for less, because it's all on the same payment scale, and they all pay tax national insurance. Right. So it's all putting it back into the economy. But they're just keen to work. They come over, they stay on site. First thing they do when they come over is ask where's the Wi-Fi, so they can keep in touch with home.
Their families, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So are they mostly young people?
They are, yes, mostly young. Yeah.
So coming to try and make a new future and perhaps maybe going back later or sending money back?
Yeah, they definitely go back. They send money back. Yeah, they're building up and then they're going back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys and girls.
That's brilliant. And your farm is near Ulcombe. Am I saying Ulcombe?
Ulcombe, yes. Ulcombe. Yeah, north of Headcorn.
Near Maidstone.
Yes, we say we're just off Junction 8 of the M20, which is where Operation Stack starts. So when Operation Stack kicks in, we don't go out. Because
bane of our lives this year, wasn't it? Operation Stack.
Yeah.
Kate and I just raising our eyebrows at the thought of the vision of a naked farmer picking strawberries on a tabletop, just in wellies, perhaps. Let's pass a meringue. It's just that, yeah, the vision, sorry.
This could get crumbly.
Now, you've won an award. You came third in the EU Rural Communications Award. And you're just about to break 18K followers on Twitter.
We have just done it. We've got 18,006.
And so that's the EU Rural Communications.
It is, yes. Yeah, that was an award across the whole of Europe for people who are sort of trying to champion and improve communications between rural communities. And we put ourselves in. We were nominated by a friend and said, OK, we'll go for it. And we came third.
I think that's
great. Brilliant. And our 18,000th follower, I tweeted it this morning from AgriChat UK, was someone called Nature Plus. He's the director of Scottish Wildlife, which is great.
OK, well, you may or may not have noticed that we had a fabulous Scottish show last week, Charles.
I did hear some of it, actually.
Yeah. And it's and they've been tweeting us today, which Matt will probably tell us. We've had a few tweets coming in from them. So tell us about Sprouts and Kent Cobnuts. And, of course, Warm Ale.
Warm ale.
I hear you're a fan.
I'm a fan of real ale. I am.
It's real warm ale.
It's got to be warm to get the flavour.
Yeah.
But Brussels sprouts are my favourite vegetable. I love them. They've got to be cooked right, so they mustn't. You mustn't overcook them.
Kate's gasping here. In a meringue, of course, Kate. Yes. With toffee sauce.
Pureed.
They mustn't be overcooked. But
mine are on.
Yours are on cooking now, so they will be tender.
Mine went on in July.
Right. But it's a good year for sprouts this year. We've had a lovely mild winter. Believe it or not, it has been unseasonably warm, and so it's a good crop out there. The sprouts are bigger, but what they actually need is some late cold weather to get the flavour there. And of course, this is what we're getting now.
The frost.
We've had a cut frost last week, and frost this morning. So some nice shallow frosts will be doing the world of good. So the flavour is going to be great.
We need to get our geraniums in. Mine are still out. Do you know mine stayed out all last year and survived in Whitstable?
Yeah, we didn't have any snow, did we?
No.
Which
suits me.
Yeah, and of course you stayed that bit warmer being right beside the sea, don't you?
Yeah, but we do get. I could barely get out of my door one day this week when we had that wind.
Oh, yes.
That north wind.
Yes.
I literally, my front door wouldn't open. I was reading, Charles, that sprouts are growing on us this year thanks to warmer weather. So that was something I read in The Guardian. So are you noticing the climate change, or are you not one of the believers that the climate is changing?
I believe in climate shift. And our seasons are changing. The weather is changing. But we're definitely getting warmer in Kent. So there's a lot more crops being grown now. You mentioned sweet potatoes earlier.
I love a sweet potato.
Yeah, well, they're growing in Kent now. There's things growing. There's someone on the Romney Marsh who's growing, having a go at olives. And I think he's about a year away from his first harvest. And they're making olive oil. So that's really good. Apricots, a lot of apricots growing in Kent now. There's enough apricots being grown in Kent that one of the supermarkets is actually selling them direct. They need a big supply before they get going. So it just shows weather has changed.
I can't get my figs to ripen, and I know some people do. I've had a fig tree for a long, long time. But talking of figs, let's talk about Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah.
connection.
Come on, what's your top tip? Well, figgy pudding, I was
figgy
thinking.
Figgy pudding, yes. You know. Yes, there is a connection.
We all love figgy pudding.
We do. Yeah. Bring us a figgy pudding.
This is going to be Carol's, isn't
now
it?
Now, bring us, yes.
Well, it won't go until we've got some.
That's Kate.
Yes, yes.
Kate Brazier. So tell us about top tips for turkey, Farmer Charles.
Top tips for turkey, buy fresh.
That always helps. You don't want a mouldy one,
no,
do you?
No, don't get
so
frozen.
So how do you
don't
know?
Frozen,
how do you know if it's fresh?
And, fresh as in not frozen. So,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and so then, how do you choose a good bird that's not all watery?
Get it from a good butcher.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and yeah, the supermarkets, some of them, they do have good butchery counters within the supermarket, and they will advise you. So there's lots of shops, but if you can get to a butcher and get a good turkey... So my local one is Appledore Turkeys. And,
didn't you bid for one in an auction?
I did, yes. It was a charity auction.
So you've got yours?
I've got my turkey lined up. It's got my name on it. Still running around. Appledore, I've had their turkeys before, actually. But top tip with turkeys is to cook them upside down. That's what they used to recommend with geese, wasn't it? You cook them
my
upside
top
down.
Tip is how do you get it in the oven in the first place?
You've
got I've got a huge
oven.
One.
Or
yeah.
a small turkey.
I've got a huge one. I'm rather worried.
Ah, well, I use turkey.
I mean, how on earth do you cook everything else? You know,
two ovens.
Yeah, two ovens. Yes. Well, you've got an Arga, so you're all okay.
Yes, that's right. I've got four ovens.
So listen, it's all round to Farmer Charles's for Christmas, I think.
But no, if you cook them upside down, I found this as a carver. I'm the one that my wife does the cooking.
Now,
by this, you
mean breast down?
Yes, so you say the whole bird is...
Because Matt's listening. He hasn't got a clue. He'll be thinking you perch it on its neck or something.
Yes, no, completely
its legs
upside down.
Air.
So the breastbone is on the bottom of the cooking tray.
Won't you, Matt?
I'll have you know that I'm very, very good at carving. Carving both.
Carving.
Any chicken, turkey, most of these situations, I'm the one that's brought on to do the carving.
Carving and eating,
chicken
I think.
Upside down as well. Chicken as well. We did turkey one year and it's marvellous because what happens is the meat then falls away from the breastbones. And so then when you come to carving, you've got a lovely slab of meat and you can carve really thin. Because I find with turkey, but even chicken, if you're carving conventionally, you get a few slices off and then you start hitting the bone. And it's difficult to get it all off, you see.
This make me go slightly queasy.
I'm sorry
talking about
this.
Bones.
Yes, yeah.
Now, we're going to go... We need to get the lovely Sally Laker on, because she's got her sleeves rolled up, listener. Ah. Wait, you know, she's stopped popping cakes in the oven while Matt gets her on the phone. So while Matt gets her on the phone, we're going to just read out a few things of Charles so that you can find him and track him down. Sorry to cut that a bit short. I think it's so interesting. We'll try and talk to you in a minute. And so you can find him on the Twitter, Farmer Charles, at Farm in Kent, K-E-N-T. And then there's a Facebook, which is AgriChat UK. I won't read out his phone number. That's just for me and Kate, for the Naked Farmers Association Appreciation Society. And you can also get his website, kentruralcareers.com, which sounds amazing. So thank you, Charles. We'll talk to you. I'm sure you'll be chipping in when we're eating meringue. And while you tuck into meringue, the lovely Sally Laker, who is down there in Whitstable, knocking up another masterpiece. These are not just cakes, listener. These are absolute creations and works of art. You can have a look on her website, which is 3wsally4cakes.co.uk. And while you can hear my guest tucking in there in the background.
That's chocolate.
Yeah.
You just tuck in. And let's get the fabulous Sally Laker, famous cake maker. Hello, Sally. Let's find
Hello,
you.
Hello, Jules.
Hello. Now, give us a little vision of your kitchen and what you're up to. Dare I ask? There's hundreds and thousands sprinkled.
Actually, I'm not doing fruitcake today. I'm doing your favourite cake today.
Oh, not my one weakness.
Your one weakness, I'm doing lemon cakes this week, yeah. So I'm going to be having loads of lemon cakes all over the kitchen this week.
As Sally rightly says, your lemon drizzle cake is my one weakness. But tell us how, because you've got children, and isn't it true that one of your sons doesn't actually like cake?
Well, I don't think they really like cake, either of them. One likes the icing and one likes the cake, but not the icing. But my husband doesn't like cake at all, so... You know, usually I'm left with loads and loads of cake left over. So.
I don't know. That's just unfair. You should be in my family. So
ungrateful.
and I know that you're hugely busy and you're in demand, but you also have won this amazing award. And that's why I wanted to talk to you before you give us our Christmas tip for all the busy people that want to make a cake. Kent Business Woman of the Year, Home-Based Business. Tell us about that, because you won that recently, didn't you? Well done.
Thank you. Yes, I won that last year. It was, yes, and many thanks to Paul Andrews for nominating me for that. But yeah, I was absolutely shocked. It was lovely. Yeah, thank you very much for that.
Because I had to step up and take your award, didn't I?
You did. Thank you very much for that. Yes, I had to go to a charity meeting on that night. But yeah,
and that was awful because everybody tweeted me and said, "Congratulations, Jules, on the award."
No.
I go, "Actually, it's not me." Wah wah. So yeah, that's my claim to fame. Now, Christmas fruitcake, Sally. Tell us your top tips. Come on.
Well, I would say top tips for making fruitcakes is fruitcake really is all about the fruit. So, buy good fruit. If you can't buy the already moist fruit, then you can always soak your fruit. But, take time to make it, pre-make it beforehand, soak your fruit. You can do it 2 to 3 days beforehand, or you can do it overnight, but just make sure it's really moist and soaked.
And what would you be soaking it in?
You can either soak it in, sherry, rum or brandy if you want something alcoholic.
And Kate and I are thinking all three.
I soak mine in tea.
or if you don't want something alcoholic, some people don't want alcoholic, so you can, apple juice or orange juice. To be honest with mine, I usually put a bit of both in. I put a bit of brandy in mine, or quite a lot of brandy, and then I put some orange juice in as well, just to make sure that it's really moist. And, and the alcohol is, it's quite important, really, because it makes it last for a long time as well. So you can, keep it.
And, of course, Charles has brought in, Farmer Charles Tassel has brought in some lovely Kentish apple juice as well. So what I'm saying, listener, is wherever you are, support your local, if you're somewhere there, you can buy local apple juice or local cider. Or whatever, and fruit, perhaps some local blueberries and things that you could keep. I put some damsons in my vodka. That was very nice once. But I diverse. Let's come back. So what's your secret recipe? I know you won't tell us the whole thing because it's your secret.
I knew you were going to ask me for my secret. Actually, it's an old family recipe and it was handed down from generations ago. But, obviously I'm not going to tell you what's in my recipe.
No.
But my tips and hints are for a good fruitcake is just don't put too many ingredients in it. Keep it simple. So many recipes I see and they've got so many ingredients in, so many different things in. Keep it simple. You don't need to add all these various spices and things. Keep it simple. And then I think it makes it more tasty. And I do believe that with sponge cakes as well. Keep it simple and it tastes so much better, I think.
Well, and allowing the flavours that you're using to seep out, perhaps.
Yeah, and don't mix too many things in together. I think, such a lot of people want to write good recipes and want to be different from everybody else, so they always have to throw more in the mix.
Put a bit of chicken in or something.
Sprouts.
Yeah. But, to me, I just keep it simple. I'm like that. I'm simple. So keep it simple.
There's nothing simple about your cakes, though. I mean, we'll talk about your award-winning cakes in a minute, because if listeners are watching on your Twitter, Sally4Cakes, that's the number 4, you'll see that she's been tweeting out this morning some stupendous Christmas visions of cakes. But if I were, just think of yourself not as Sally the amazing cake maker, but just Jules or Matt Cook, my lovely producer. When should he start making his Christmas cake? And this whole thing, I made one once. It was a Delia one. Very, very good. I kept it under my bed for months, Matt. And I kept feeding it with brandy.
Why did you keep it under your bed?
Well, I don't know. I read that's what you were
supposed to do. For a second, I thought that was what was normal. I'm glad that you said that. That's a good idea. People just keeping cakes under beds.
Yeah. You never know. Matt's never been under my bed.
Please don't keep the cakes under your bed.
No, Matt has never been under my bed, I assure you. But so what was all that? Little knitting needles I was poking in, and then every night drag it out from under my bed and then pop some brandy in. I did it for months.
Yeah, you could, it's recommended, really, that you do about, 3 months before Christmas. But, everybody does it differently. If you want to prepare beforehand, but don't panic if you haven't done it yet. There's still 4 weeks left, 4 or 5 weeks left for Christmas.
I'm panicking.
Don't panic. But, it's fine because you can pre-soak your fruit and everything. And then, once you've done it, you can, as you said, you can feed the cake as you go. You could either you know, make holes and feed it on, or you can brush the brandy or whiskey over the top, and just to make sure that it preserves it, you know, you probably need to do that every, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks to make sure it's all preserved. But make sure you wrap it up tightly. Wrap it in parchment paper or baking paper, and then wrap it in foil, and just make sure it's all airtight, and then it will keep nice. Then just keep it dry.
So under the bed.
Drying cool. Yeah. Maybe on the bed. As long as your bedroom's not really, really hot, then, you know, that's going to be... Keep it cool.
Yeah.
You know, keep it in an airtight container. But, you know, you can always freeze them down as well. You know, if you haven't got anywhere to store them, you can freeze them down and then just take them out, and they'll be perfectly all right when they're reanimated. But you can do that.
I think that's a brilliant, some top tips there from Sally for cakes. Now, you're going to go back to your little kitchen, and well, quite a big kitchen, I imagine, and start baking. Just tell me before we finish, what has been the highlight of this year, cake-wise? What's the most unusual thing you've made this year?
Oh, goodness.
I hear Malteser-covered chocolate oranges or something.
Oh, yes, this is a new thing that's out this year. And I haven't actually done it myself because... You know, this is a good fun thing to make, but I haven't done it myself, but I can see everybody doing it, is that you get a chocolate orange, I can't remember who makes them, and then you cover it in melted chocolate and you stick Maltesers on the outside. And
like you need them.
And make it into a Christmas pudding. So put a bit of white icing on the top and then put some holly on the top, and it looks amazing. And then you've got this lovely Christmas tree, and you know, it's no baking either, you don't need to cook it, it's just like a Christmas gift, but it's probably for chocoholics, I should imagine, isn't it?
Wow, it sounds
chocolate. But
quite
you can
disgusting.
Do so many things with them, and they're lovely, but I shall tweet some pictures afterwards of some of these creations that people have done with chocolate oranges, because it's a great thing to do with your children as well, you know, good fun.
Sally, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll be seeing you very soon, and also have a lovely Christmas with your family.
And you too.
Thank you.
And I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's the amazing Sally for cakes there. I mean, if that hasn't got your taste buds going, it's certainly, even though I'm stuffed to the gills with Kate Brazier's delicious things that she's brought in today. But Sally for cakes, you can find her on sallyforcakes.co.uk. And keep your tweets coming in at Jules Serkin or at Share Radio UK. You can text on 66777. And we're going to play, talking of sprouts, all that delicious cake talk, we're going to be playing a little sprouty song that we found. It's prefab sprout from the 80s. I can't really remember the 80s, Matt, can you? But
I can remember about 7 years, 6 years of it. And
But for me, I was a kid,
so I always loved it. It was great. I was just like eating sprouts and having great Christmases. So for me, this is lovely. Prefab sprouts, great choice.
And it's called Appetite. So that was Appetite and Prefab Sprout. Now, just slipped nicely in there, listener, talking about your Christmas prep and your sprouts and your turkeys with our farmer Charles Tassel in the studio. You just heard from Sally for Cakes down there in Whitstable whipping up a creation. We're going to be talking to Kate Brazier about her phenomenal blogs, Kate's Puddings, And she's going to be telling us about how to get ahead at Christmas when people pop in a little bit of chocolate sauce. But let's first of all go over to the man that goes under my bed looking for cake. It's the lovely Matt Cook.
I wanted the music to slowly start. I wanted people
you
just
can
to feel
can turn yourself the, up, you know, darling.
I wanted people to feel the Christmas spirit before I start to talk a little bit. And also, that slight shock that you actually know that I've been waiting under your bed to try and find these strange cakes that you've been getting there to mature.
Well,
and
some... I'm a bit perplexed. I thought you were the producer.
I was letting the music filter in. I was, and also, you know,
I'm sure you've grown a, I'm sure you've grown a white fluffy beard as well.
I have. I'm ready. I usually generally go to shopping malls, you know, supermarkets and stuff and be the Santa. You know, I've got the physique for it.
I'm so glad you said mall. I never know how to say it.
I don't know why I feel like saying mall. I feel like for some reason Christmas just feels American. So you just start to get a little bit...
A
bit maulish. I'm getting mauled right now. Yeah, this is what's happening.
What have you got from under my bed?
We've got Gluten-Free Baking, who is at Gluten-Free Bake 1, and who was guest on our Gluten-Free show a few weeks ago and has tweeted in saying she's making mincemeat ready for Christmas and listening to Share Food this afternoon.
Ooh.
We've got Rob Ellsworth at Chef Ellsworth, and has said, brine your turkey and add a teaspoon of curry powder to your parsnips when you blanch them. I've not heard about that before.
No, you know, he's a teacher. He's not just a chef. He's a teacher at East Kent College.
Oh, wow.
He's fabulous.
Brilliant. So we've got The Lighter Wife at The Lighter Wife. They say, plenty of fresh fruit and healthy options for when you get the Boxing Day slump. And I've had that before. I think we've all had the Boxing Day turnover. And after a big Christmas meal, I always get a bit sleepy. So this definitely is a tip. Big tip for me. And now just to finish off, we've got Jane Rainey, who's at Jane Rainey, has tweeted about Sally's award. She said, well deserved. Congratulations, Sally. Good job.
Thank you. I just love your music. I want that. That's the lovely Matt Cook there. So we've had a couple of tweets. I don't know whether you saw Promote Thanet. He says, Jules, you were the noggin. Never. Second helping, surely not. Toffee sounds good. So over to Kate Brazier. I think Don Wood is listening in and talking about your toffee sauces. How do we... I'm going to introduce you. I'm also going to ask Charles, because my mouth was full and is full in a minute. About your creations, because we were eating for about half an hour. But let's just introduce you. So Kate Brazier, you can find her on www.katespuddings.co.uk. You can tweet her on at Kate's Puddings. But as I said, her first cookbook, Global Phenomenon, if only I could say phenomenon, 142,000 hits. And also 122 countries, so global. I think that's incredible for your first book. You also raised £1,000 for two charities. But let's go to Farmer Charles, who's just chomped through most of them. Charles.
Well, I've had the mince pies, which are marvellous.
Yes, I had four of those.
With brandy butter and whiskey butter, which is even more marvellous. Is that a real rose?
More marvellous.
I think the whisky's kicking in now.
Well, I feel like Minnie Mouse on helium.
Yes.
Well, that's the toffee sauce.
And then we topped off with meringues, with cream, toffee sauce, lemon sauce. So it's absolutely beautiful.
And that, did you have the Ecken Fecken tart from Scotland?
I didn't want to try and pronounce that.
No, but did you have it?
I did, and it was so yummy and rich.
Ecken Fecken.
It was. Yes. I'm not going to try that, but it was.
Should we go to Kate?
Yes.
Kate, was it an Ecken Fecken tart?
No, it was an Ecken Fecken tart.
Eckel. Okay, Ecken
Fecken. It'll be on the blog. I'll put it on the blog.
And it's from Scotland?
It's from Scotland. It's from Dumfries and Galloway.
Well, we had the lovely Fiona Richmond, who was tweeting in this morning, and she was eating some beautiful Scottish produce and going around there. So I'm sure she'll be delighted to hear that you from Kent, the maid of Kent, has brought... But it was rich, wasn't it, Charles?
It was very rich, and it is very rich.
It's
lovely.
It's the sort of thing, listen, just to describe, I know you can't have any listener, but it's the sort of thing you'd have, Charles, by a log fire on a Sunday when you get that sort of 4 p.m. slump.
Yes.
You've walked the dogs, you've done everything, and you just slump, don't you?
That's right, it's turning cold and
twilight. You think, I'd just like a nice piece of Ecken Fecken tart.
Yeah. So since you started the blog, which has had these 142,000 visitors, Kate, that's Charles's squeaky chair there, by the way. I love that. You now speak at WI meetings, so it sort of catapulted you into being a public speaker as well. Tell us about that.
It's been wonderful fun. I was rung up by the Rough Common Women's Institute.
Not at all rough.
Not at all common. And asked to talk to them about puddings and blogging. And it was the first time I'd had to put together my thoughts about puddings and blogging and why I do it. And I came to the conclusion that I was a feeder. But we had a hilarious evening. I brought some puddings to test, and they had asked the girls to bring in puddings of their own. So we were dipping into all sorts of amazing creations. I think we all went out on a complete sugar high, like we're on today with all the food I've brought in to test.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And you have a couple of charities that are dear to your heart. So you have the FANNY, which is the First Aid Nursing Yeomanry, which was established in 1907.
That's right. It's the oldest uniformed women's organisation.
And why is that close to your heart?
I've been a member for 31 years. They're an amazing bunch of women. We're all volunteers. We're not paid. We do the City of London Casualty Bureau. We do resilience and emergency sort of relief in the City of London and in London. The organisation originally went, they First World War, they were out there driving ambulances. They were at the first gas attack. And the Second World War, the FANNY provided the women agents who parachuted into France. And I got to recreate one of the parachute jumps. Strapped to a Frenchman. Sadly, I got the least attractive Frenchman.
Had he had garlic?
I don't know what he hadn't had. One of the girls had somebody so gorgeous she asked to be strapped face on for the jump.
This has got to come in the outtakes. Yeah, so when was this? Can I join?
That was about 10 years ago. What, the FANNY? You're very
well,
welcome
right,
to join.
Strapping to a Frenchman was, you know, sounds tempting.
It was tempting.
Depends who it is.
Great.
Of course, Michelle Roux Jr. kind of springs to mind, you know, who will be, I'm going to go into his inner sanctum soon and interview him with
So when I hear
Matt.
You've been strapped to Michelle Roux Jr.
Yeah. and of course, your All Saints Church, which is in Petham in Kent. Where is Petham near, so that listeners would know? Is it near Canterbury?
Petham is, yes, just southwest of Canterbury. Sorry, southeast of Canterbury.
Okay.
And it's a little church. We were fundraising for a loo and a kitchen, appropriately enough. And in fact, we've just got the kitchen. It is going in at the moment.
Right. Now, let's get down to basics. Our listeners need to know about Christmas tips. How can you have all of these gorgeous toffees and chocolate sauces for when you get hungry kids just popping in with all their mates? Tell us.
The secret of Christmas is preparation, but Christmas Day is the day that everybody makes such a fuss over. But actually, there's more to Christmas than just Christmas Day. So I try and get lots of stuff in the freezer or in jars in the fridge that you can then just bring out. So meringues, you've been testing my meringues.
I have.
You have.
I'm wearing one.
You're wearing more than one, darling.
I know. And the cream she put in, listener, was a dollop, this huge amount of cream, then chocolate sauce, and then says, would you like some toffee sauce? And Charles, I, okay.
Well, I was a bit worried you hadn't tied the toffee sauce. I thought you just didn't want it. But you can make all these things. I've made mine now. You can make them a month in advance and stick them in the fridge. And then I just find Christmas is full of people coming hither and thither, and you're trying to think of food. And magic, you've got a chocolate sauce in the fridge, toffee, you can pour it over meringues, over bought ice cream or make your ice cream. And I've made lots of different brandy butters. And that's all the sort of thing you can do in advance.
So I love the jars. They're just jars that you'd buy, mayonnaise jars or any other jars, and you just wash them, sterilise them, and you've got them ready.
You have.
So did you say how long that would keep?
They all keep for about a month.
Really? In
yeah,
the fridge?
In the fridge, but sometimes they don't last for a month.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, we've been going through them, haven't we?
We have.
And but when you say make room, I mean, my freezer's already stuffed from the year. I don't think I'm very good at planning. So do you sort of start emptying your freezer in the autumn
well,
to prepare?
I have a confession to make.
Go on.
A month ago, I bought another freezer.
So how many are we up to?
Three.
Okay.
But one's a very small one.
And does everyone come to you for Christmas Day?
I would love it if they did. I've got my family coming, my children, and we've got one of my sons is a medic, and we've got various friends of his who are on call or don't have much time off and can't get home, so they're going to come, which is wonderful.
Ah, that is it. I mean, there's something about it. And I always sort of end up, we've got an open plan house, but I'm sort of stuck in the kitchen in a frenzy and I just keep topping up my Prosecco or whatever. It is quite hard when the woman is in the kitchen, but are you saying that by forward planning, perhaps we can get out to enjoy a little bit more?
Yes, and also by co-opting sprout cutters like Matthew over there and I've got one of my children to carve. Just everyone wants to help on Christmas Day. They just don't like helping with the washing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's often three dishwasher loads. So top tip. Just to round up, top tip would be, would you buy local as well?
I try and buy as local as possible. Local farmer I get my turkey from. Local farm shop I get the most amazing vegetables and fruit from. I try and make as much as possible in advance and then try and enjoy the moment and feed everybody.
That's true, because a braised cabbage, I always do my red cabbages with apple and lovely brown sugar, and I always make that sort of a day in advance anyway. That's a good one. I'm planning this year to put this huge turkey into my mum's oven, and then the boys will have to jog round and drag it out and bring it. I'm seeing a Fawlty Towers image here. Do you remember the duck where he kept getting the duck and it fell on the floor? And
I had a disastrous dinner party where my oven went bang half an hour before people arrived. And it ended up with the meat being cooked by my boss's wife, who then brought it over in a rainstorm.
We all need a bus. We must say, in your real life, you're actually a chimney inspector and surveyor for wood burners and fires over there in Canterbury, and has actually put in a wood burner for me, which is great, and I love it. Kate, you can find Kate on katespuddings.co.uk. Remember to tweet her and say that you heard about her on here. And if you do need any tips, you can find them on her website, katespuddings.co.uk. Let's go over to the young Matthew Cook.
Well, Jules, you've had loads of events sent in, so apologies if we don't have time to mention yours. Let's start off with the Clandestine Cake Club, a Christmas spirit event running on the 30th of November at 7pm to 9pm at the Tavistock Town Centre. They say Christmas is coming. It's time to get into the spirit of it and boozy-inspired cake, brandy, rum, whiskey or even eggnog. Get ready for the festive season with a liquor or spirit-themed cake creation. Sounds delicious. For more info, head over to www.clandestinecakeclub.co.uk. Just to finish off, because there's so many we can't get through all of them, the London Bridge City Christmas Market is on the 30th of November, on the 3rd of January, open at 10am till 8pm, and at More London Riverside London Bridge. So get down there and have a fantastic time. It's open practically all day.
Tell you what, Matt, you're getting rather good at this Twitter and events thing.
Well, you know, when it's about farming and about markets and stuff, I mean, there's nothing better than walking around and tasting a few things, is there?
You know, it's rather nice. It's like some looking through the looking glass. I've got you, and then further on, I've got the lovely Fiona in the background, who's been putting together with Rebecca some events and tweets. It's just rather darling to see you all. We've had a great show. I hope you've enjoyed listening. We'll be back, of course, next Saturday with Share Food. And next Saturday, Matthew and I will be tasting whiskey. And we'll be talking about finding out all about the finest whiskey. So that sounds interesting. I'm not actually, I don't know if I can tolerate whiskey, Matt. What do you think?
My dad loved whiskey. So we all had to just try a bit because he enjoyed it. But I'm not, I enjoy the craft of it because it is the competitions that you have internationally. And it brings such, I don't know, interest around the globe for people to try and get that perfect whiskey. But for me, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be slurping on a whiskey this Christmas.
Let's do a brandy programme. So there you heard it from Matt Cook. He enjoys a crafty whiskey. I'd like to thank our fabulous guests. We've got Kate Brazier of Kate's Puddings and the lovely farmer Charles Tassel, telling you all about turkeys and sprouts and buy local, of course. And then in her Whitstable kitchen, Sally for Cakes, Sally Laker, who is putting together divine creations. I've been Jewel Serkin, of course, as usual. And join us next Saturday at 2pm. Where we'll be, as I said, be swigging and tasting beautiful whiskey blends and the perfume. But for now, Charles, Kate, me and possibly Fiona and Matt and Rebecca will be tucking in to Kate Brazier's delights, meringues and the Eccle Fecken Tart. Yes, you've taught me. So for now, from all of us, it's a goodbye.